You're listening to Sam in the Morning, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to the show. Today is Tuesday, July 23rd. I'm trying to figure out the day because my week is pretty busy. We have a beautiful day in LA. It's hot again, as always, an oven pretty much. But it is so for the rest of the country, so we managed to continue somehow. I'm going to be in Arizona later this week, so it's going to be probably like 118 or something. So I'm going to have to... I'm going to have to prepare for that. It's not your usual heat, you know. Welcome to the show. And this morning I have a special guest. His name is Avner Madar. Welcome to the show, Avner.
Thank you, Sam.
Of
Good
course.
Morning.
Thank you. You've been to the station before, but your wife was the one interviewed.
Yeah.
And today you get the honor.
Yeah. I'm awesome. So glad to be here and, you know, very excited about the opportunity.
Thank you. Thank you for joining me. Avner, you... teach Kabbalah at the Kabbalah Center here in LA, and we're going to find out all about it. The Kabbalah is a mystical side of Judaism, pretty much, right?
Right. It was considered to be the mystical aspect of Judaism, but we know that Kabbalah reveals the internal, the real meaning of the wisdom, which means that, you know, you can learn all the different levels of study. And the secrets of Kabbalah basically reveals the secrets of life, uh-huh. The secrets of, you know, the spiritual laws of the universe, and it basically talks about our daily lives. Any mm. aspect of life, we can learn how to improve it, how to make it better, and how to really to reveal the greatness of our soul.
Okay, cool. I'm going to ask you to sit a little back from the microphone because it kind of pops and
sure.
stuff. You know, you have a very deep voice, that's
okay,
why.
Okay, okay.
You know?
Yeah.
So I'm just going to bring it up and just sit like that, and that's cool. Very interesting, you know. So we'll find out all about it and stuff, but a little bit about yourself. I know you're married, and you have a beautiful wife, and she's very nice. You guys do, like, sessions here out here in the valley as well, and we'll talk about that. You told me you have a daughter as well.
Yeah.
That's good. And you guys are all from Israel, right?
Yeah, we're Israelis, but, yeah. You know, we live in the country. We live in L.A. for a while, yeah.
How long have you been here now?
First, we came to L.A. I came to Los Angeles when I was 24 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started to study Kabbalah.
Oh, wow.
And I started to study Kabbalah in the valley, like Sherman Oaks, or like I think somewhere around there.
Uh-huh.
And then I stayed in LA for many, many years.
Mm-hmm.
And I joined, you know, the Kabbalah Center. I started to teach Kabbalah. And then, of course, I met my beautiful wife.
Mm. Very nice. So she had been here too before.
Yeah, yeah. And then, of course, part of our journey is going back to Israel, teaching Kabbalah in Israel for more than 10 years, mm-hmm. all over the country, all over the state of Israel. And then just recently, not really, but 4.5 years ago, we just moved to LA, back in LA, and teaching in LA, and also in many, many places like Chicago, Boston, New York, Miami.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so different states, yeah.
You're distributing this around.
Absolutely, yes, yes,
very
yes,
nice.
Yes.
Yeah. How did you get into it? When did you first find out about it?
Yeah, it's funny. As I mentioned, I just moved to LA when I was 24 years old, and then a good friend of mine joined me, and he was actually talking about Kabbalah nonstop,
mm-hmm.
and I didn't have any clue what are you talking about? What Kabbalah? I just finished the Israeli army, and now he's talking with me about, you know, mysticism, about wisdom, about spiritual laws.
Mm-hmm.
To make a long story short, we went to take the introductory lecture here in the valley,
mm-hmm.
and I was so impressed. And I remember that at the first few sessions, my friend and I, we used to go there just to have fun, you know, to laugh, to enjoy.
Right.
I didn't take it seriously. You know, let's go to see, you know, to learn Kabbalah. It's fun.
Right.
And then I started to feel that there is something that is so deep. It's so unique. It is so inspiring. It is so practical.
Right.
And I decided to continue and take the first course.
That's amazing. Because, you know, I went through a similar experience.
Right.
I was in Israel visiting, actually. I just moved there, like, for a break for a year after I'd lived here for a while. That was back in 1996 or something.
Right, right.
I went back to Israel, and there was like the book festival and everything in Tel Aviv. And somebody was giving out flyers, and one of them was for the Kabbalah Intro section.
Wow.
And I thought, you know, this sounds interesting, you know. And I think everybody is fascinated with the Kabbalah because, first of all, for many years they said nobody under 40 should study this. And so it was left only to a few people, you know, that could actually get into it. And they kind of scared us and stuff. You know, it's dangerous to study this and all that stuff, right?
Absolutely, yes.
Yeah, and that's how it's been viewed. And so when somebody said, you know, you can go and actually find out about it, I was very curious.
Right.
So I went to the session as well. And I was captured by it, just like you, you know. They told us things that we never thought about before.
Right.
You know, things that made sense. It started making sense, explaining some of the things that we see in life, you know. And so I liked it, and I enrolled, you know. And for a year I was going there, and, you know, to their prayers and lessons and all that stuff. And it was amazing, you know. So did you teach in Israel too?
I was teaching in Israel for 11 years. That was actually one of the best time in my life.
Mm-hmm.
I love being in Israel and teaching there in Tel Aviv, in Jerusalem, in Haifa, in Be'er Sheva, in different cities, to meet people from all walks of life. And really to realize that Kabbalah is a universal wisdom. Mm-hmm. It's not a religion. And we are not teaching religion. We are not teaching people how we know what to do and how to do. We just share wisdom, spiritual wisdom, spiritual tools, and then we give people the, you know, the freedom to choose what's the best, what works for you. Because once you try and practice the tools, if it works and you feel better and you become happier and your relationship become better and you feel stronger, And you can overcome the challenges in your life in a proactive way, wow, that means that it works.
It really does, you know?
Yeah.
And, I mean, there's a lot of people that have gone through this, and I think they're great witnesses for the fact that it does work, you know, and it improves your life in many ways, you know? So some people look at it as like self-improvement, you know, but it's a lot more than that.
Yeah, because it goes to the level of the soul. Look, our soul is great. Our mm-hmm. soul is endless. Mm-hmm. And we have, you know, limitless potential. Mm-hmm. The thing is that the soul is being covered with layers and layers of negativity, of blockages, like emotional blockages, fears, you know, the person went through some pain and now he's not really believing in himself, low self-esteem, and so on and so forth. So now the purpose is to remove the layers. And the technique of Kabbalah is less about understanding. Yes, of course, we can understand how to do things, how to make things better. But there is a spiritual law. It's a universal, you know, it's a universal law that when you turn on the light, darkness must disappear.
Mm.
So we are teaching people, of course, wisdom, and it's very interesting. It's very inspiring. But the bottom line, why people want to continue, because they feel, wow, I have more light in my life, and therefore I have less darkness. Now, light, of course, I will explain to you on a deeper level what does it mean, light. But when the Kabbalists are teaching Kabbalah, it's all about really, you know, it's all about turning on the light in your life. The light exists within you. You need to awaken it. You need to reveal it. And darkness will go away naturally. So therefore, you will have more freedom and more joy and happiness in your life.
Right. So the darkness and the light are more like representative of spiritual things. So,
absolutely.
So we're not talking about the visible light and all that. We're talking about light which is from the Creator, right?
Absolutely, yes.
Right.
So the Kabbalists named the Creator, the light force, the Creator, they called it light.
Okay.
Why? Because they knew that within one ray of light exist all the colors of the spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
So within the light force of the Creator, you have abundance and sustenance and healing and joy and happiness and attracting the right thoughts, attracting the right people into your life. It's really when you turn on the light, you can have it all. And darkness was created by the light to give us an opportunity to reveal, you know, to earn the light. In Kabbalah, right. we have a concept. It's called there is no free light, right? If you want to be happier, you want if you want a better relationship, you need to earn it.
To work on it.
If you want to have an healthy body, you need to earn it, right? You need to go to the gym, you need to eat it. So imagine, what about your soul? What about your consciousness? Because the consciousness is the DNA. The consciousness is basically everything. Mm. It is nourishing your body. It is nourishing your emotions. It is nourishing you everything, any aspect of your life. Your thoughts, you know, your thoughts are being nourished from your consciousness. So imagine if you can elevate your consciousness on a daily basis, mm-hmm. you're going to elevate your emotions, your thoughts, your actions, your words, your speech, any aspect of life. And that's what we teach, how to elevate your consciousness.
Right. And, you know, people ask, like, why there's darkness, why there's negativity and bad. And that is, I think, in order to light and goodness to exist, you know? I mean, because it has to be the opposite. And I think everything in the universe has an opposite, you know? Because if there's no darkness, how do you define light, you know? So, because darkness is the absence of light, you know?
Right, right.
And both visually and spiritually.
Yeah.
So, so that's interesting. And now, so all the light emanates from the Creator, and that's the source of the light, of the spiritual light for everybody.
Right.
Now, I'm going to get deeper into this and everything, but you say the soul has a lot of negativity and layers on it.
Not the soul, the layers. The soul is pure. Right. Your soul right now is totally pure.
That's what I mean. The soul comes into this planet
right.
pure.
Yeah, and stays pure, and stays pure forever.
Right.
The layers, you know, the layers of sadness, of pain, of low self-esteem, of course, are covering your greatness, and therefore we feel that it's that we are not living our purpose, because you right. know our purpose is to be limitless, and we feel very limited.
Right.
And the point that the purpose of Kabbalah is to teach us how to transform from being limited to become limitless.
Right. Yeah. So explain the concept of the desire to receive, right?
Right.
And explain that a little bit, because that's a key.
Sure. the foundation of...
Exactly.
Yeah. By the way, the word Kabbalah came from the word Lekabel, which is in Aramaic, it means to receive.
Right.
So it's the wisdom of receiving, how to receive
the
endless,
light.
How to receive the light, how to bring more light, how to become closer to the light. So the story of creation, again, we're talking about before Adam and Eve, before the Big Bang. Kabbalah is teaching us that there was a force known to us as the light force of the Creator, which is an infinite force of giving and sharing. So at the beginning of everything, before Adam and Eve, before the Big Bang, the light, which is an infinite force of giving and sharing, was created a vessel so the vessel can receive the endless light and blessings from the light, from the Creator. Now, a vessel means desire, okay? Just like a cup is a vessel for your coffee, a vessel on the spiritual realm was a desire that was created, a desire to receive. And the desire to receive was actually, was drawing the light, receiving the light, receiving endless light and fulfillment. At a certain point, the vessel, which is us, the souls of all mankind, wanted to become like the Creator.
I see.
Wanted to become, because the Creator is all about giving, and we are all about receiving.
Right.
And remember, our DNA is the light force, because the light force, in a way, took a piece or took a part of away from him and created a vessel. So the DNA of our soul is to share. And that's why we have so much joy. We are experiencing so much joy when we share, and less when we receive.
Exactly.
Again, it takes some time to transform. But imagine now the desire to receive with the energy of sharing of the light could stay like that forever. But the vessel said, "Stop! I don't want to receive." Now, a great example for that is imagine if someone, a friend or a relative of yours
right.
is coming to you to LA and he's actually telling you, let's go to a good restaurant, let's have dinner. And now you are having fun, enjoying your time, and the bill comes and your friend is saying, let me pay for it. Okay, you say, no, okay, he will pay for it. He's your friend, he's your relative, he really wants to pay. Now, 2 days after, he's telling you, let's go again to have lunch, to have dinner, and the bill comes and he's paying for it again.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
You feel, let me pay this time. You paid last. Okay. The third time he's paying the third time. Now you can say, I'm sure that you might feel, oh, that's it. I'm not going to let you pay this time.
Right. Like you feel you owe something back.
You feel that you want to share back.
It's
not about I owe you, because I feel that you shared so much with me. You shared. I feel that I want to give something in return. That's our essence. And the vessel said, you know what? My true essence is also like the creator. I want to give. I want to share. Therefore, the first spiritual law was created. If you want to receive light, you need to act like the light.
I see.
Which means that if you want more light in your life, you need to transform your desire to receive for oneself alone into the desire to receive for the sake of sharing. Because you cannot let go of receiving. If you're not going to have any desire, the light cannot share with you, right?
Right. Yeah.
So the Creator wants us to expand our desire, but in order for us to have long-lasting fulfillment, and so I need to transform my nature from being selfish, for being like I want it for myself, desire to receive for oneself alone, into the desire to receive for the sake of sharing. So basically I can achieve affinity with the Creator. Mm-hmm. And then I can receive endless light and fulfillment.
I see. Now, obviously, people are different from each other. We have different side vessels. Now, explain to us what the vessels, how does it manifest itself in the real world? You know, what's the vessel like? What are we talking about here?
Sure. First, a vessel means desire. So if you see a person that is having a greater desire, like he wants to be rich, wealthy, successful, he wants to achieve more goals, you know, he's always on, he's always like taking the next step, he's always like pushing himself to grow, to transform in any aspect of life, you know that person as a big vessel. We call it vessel. Again, has a great desire. Now, the desire is amazing. It's the foundation, right? But then what do you do with that desire? If the desire stays for oneself alone, then the person is going to achieve his goals, his or her goals, but it's going to create some side effect like anger, not being satisfied, sadness, pain, painful challenges. Why? Because challenges... Again, painful challenges are coming from, me not being connected with the light. So if I'm not connected with the light, I'm connected with darkness. The darkness is the desire to receive for oneself alone.
Right.
So therefore, I need to transform. So I need to be more kind. I need to be more sensitive towards others. I need to make sure that my work is not just for the sake of making money. I'm doing it for the sake of sharing, for the sake of, helping others, and so on and so forth.
Right. And that's the amazing thing about it is... It's not about being selfish. It's the opposite, and it's not natural for many people, because we do have the desire to receive and we do with it whatever we want, but then we wonder why we're not happy,
because exactly.
Like you said, for the same reason is that it's meant to be shared.
Yeah.
And I think that's a beautiful thing, So, when people think of the Kabbalah, it's a beautiful thing, it teaches positivity, it teaches sharing, it teaches consideration and thoughtfulness about other people,
And being proactive, being proactive, just like the Creator.
So the vessel is really the desire, the
yes.
amount of desire you have.
Yes,
right.
Yes,
and,
absolutely.
And some people have bigger desires than others,
right.
So and that's just maybe the way they were born or the way they form themselves over the years.
Absolutely,
right?
Absolutely. Because when you push, you are expanding your desire. When you push yourself to share, when it's not comfortable for you to share, you are expanding your desire. That's also another aspect of Kabbalah.
Right. So you have to work against your nature.
constantly.
And that's what this is about. Right?
Yes, at least once a day to look for something that I don't like to do, that it's difficult for me to do, that it's about going against my nature, and then do it with the consciousness of, you know, I want more light in my life. I want to expand my vessel.
Right. Now, what is the, we consider ourselves like, in religion and stuff, in spirituality, we consider ourselves as everything is one, right? So the question is, what happened? How is it that we got separated from the Creator in the beginning and became people where that's a totally different thing, you know?
Right, right.
How is that? How did that happen?
So at the beginning of time, again, the beginning of creation, the endless, we called it the endless. The Kabbalists say that, you know, there was no beginning and no end. When the vessel said, stop, I want to become like you. Everything was one. No separation at all. Just one. The light and the vessel, everything is one. Separation means the beginning of darkness, because light is one. Darkness means, you know, the second day, Monday or whatever, like separation. So the light needed to be concealed, like the light become concealed to allow the vessel to reveal the light. So now the separation took place, but the separation is an illusion. Basically, we are all one unified soul. All mankind are one unified soul. And we are united with the Creator. Again, through the physical eyes, we don't see it, but at least we can feel it. When I feel that I want the best for everyone, I want to send love and kindness towards all human beings, of course, because I know that we are one, and I know that I'm responsible for everyone, and everyone is responsible for me. So the bottom line, if I am acting with the consciousness of oneness to create unity, to create peace, less arguments, less hatred, less jealousy. Again, it's difficult. I'm not saying that it's easy. It takes time to transform, and it's a daily work to get, you know, to run away from separation, not to create separation. Even if the person doesn't agree with me, I can still respect the person. I can still, you know, even love that person without even agreeing with him.
Right. And then there's the opposite, where people hate and they're full of anger and hatred and so forth. And that's the opposite of what you're talking about. That's actually wanting to hurt other people, not wanting to share, wanted to keep everything to yourself, you know. And I think, and that's the thing about the Kabbalah, I think it teaches you like the meaning of life, you know. It teaches you why things are the way they are, you know, because people don't understand how can there be so much suffering in the world.
Absolutely.
How can there be so much, evil and things like that. And that's just the opposite of what you're talking about.
The beauty of Kabbalah is, again, it is teaching us the spiritual laws of the universe, but the spiritual laws of the universe are actually 99%. My teacher, Rav Berg, used to say the spiritual realm, the spiritual reality, takes 99% of the reality. Mm. And the physical reality is only 1%. Now,
right.
If I'm acting in a selfish way, let's say a person is driving on the freeway, someone is cutting him off, and he's cursing and he's getting upset, getting very frustrated and saying bad words. Okay, now he goes, you know, to his home. He's not realizing that the next day he might wake up with less clarity, with less joy, less happiness. Why? Because of his action, of his selfish action yesterday on the freeway, he doesn't see the connection.
Right.
He doesn't put the two dots together.
Right.
And he thinks, oh no, life is difficult, you know, my boss, the economy. No, it's not the economy. It's not anything external. It's because the way that you behave. Forget about what's going on around you. If you are connected with the light, you will always experience joy and happiness,
right,
and fulfillment and sustenance and abundance. If you are disconnected from the light, then you're going to experience, you know, less happiness, less joy, less right, motivation, etc.
Because everything's got consequences, you know?
Exactly.
And
yes.
And that's the thing, is people don't understand. Like, for example, if you put your finger in the fire, you're going to burn,
yeah,
right? But the thing is, so that you have no will over, but you have the free will whether to put your finger in the first place.
And unfortunately, we put our fingers, so many of us are putting our fingers in the fire, mm-hmm, and we don't really know that it's going to cause us a lot of pain.
Right. We don't understand why the consequences are happening, but that's pretty much how everything is built, you know? I mean, it's set up that way. Yes. So you have free will. You can decide, you know, what you do, and there are consequences to it. So if you're aware of it, then you can adjust your decision based on that, you know. And there's positive consequences, obviously, as well.
Absolutely. You know, it goes both ways. And right. We call it the laws of cause and effect. Mm. The laws of cause and effect. Basically, the Creator doesn't punish anyone because the Creator is a force of goodness, right? So the Creator will never punish anyone. Punishment doesn't exist. What exists is the laws of cause and effect. Now I'm experiencing pain because of my, you know, the way that I was behaving, you know, my behavior. I was planting seeds of selfishness, and therefore now I'm experiencing disconnection from the light. So it's right. Not the light is punishing me. Right. We think, oh, God is punish that person. A force of goodness will never punish anyone. We just need to learn the laws of cause and effect, and then we can really transform and connect with the light through our free will.
Right. And that explains why, you know, many people are asked, like, how can God allow so much evil in the world? You know, and people don't understand that, you know, personally, I don't feel that God is involved, like, with our personal lives every day, you know. I think he created something, and he's watching us live through it, you know. And people think, like, God is doing miracles for us and stuff. That's not the point, you know. The point is, I think it's all up to us, you know. How everything happens, you know.
Yeah, but nevertheless, Kabbalah is teaching us, the book mm-hmm. of the Zohar, the ancient text of the Zohar, is teaching us that the Creator is always standing on your side, mm-hmm. wants to help you, wants to inspire you, is whispering, you know, the right message for you, meaning like, okay, that's the clarity for the day, that's what you need to do today. He wants you to become stronger, he wants you to get outside of our comfort zone. But again, the question is, am I training myself to listen, or am I training myself to be, you know, to be stuck with my own ego and limitations?
Right. But it's not like he makes you do things, you know. It's your free will. You're totally free to decide how you want to live your life.
Absolutely.
You know, and I think that's the point that people have to understand, is that, like you said, you know, the light doesn't have anything negative to give to you. You know, it's all positive and giving and generous, you know. And that's what people need to understand, you know. It's up to us, you know.
Right.
And I think when there's evil in the world, it's because people are evil, you know.
Yeah.
And but then you ask yourself, well, why do the good people deserve to be to receive all that evil, you know? And there's a lot in the world.
Right.
You know.
Right.
Do you have the answer to that?
Yes.
How come good people suffer?
We need to know that we don't see the true reality. We don't see. Sometimes we think something bad, but it's actually good. Sometimes we think something good, but it's actually not that good. So we need to start really practicing the idea that I am blind spiritually. Without the help of the light, I don't really know. I don't really see the big picture. And when we are experiencing painful situations to good people, you know, number one, let me just put it, make it a little more, to make it clear, that, again, to be a good person is not a purpose. That's not a purpose in life. Your purpose is to transform, to grow, and to reveal your greatness. And sometimes, unfortunately, the soul is getting stuck and not improving and not growing. If I'm not growing on a daily basis, on a weekly basis, on a monthly basis, it means that I'm stuck. If I'm stuck, and the light seeing the Creator again with all the laws of cause and effect, the light might decide, you know, oh, let's put that person in a different city, a different country, different situation, different reality, because we need to change. And we know that the challenges are meant to help us grow and transform, because when we are not going through challenges, we have no desire to change. Oh, let me stay on my sofa. Let me do the same things every day. Let me stay in my comfort zone. I have enough money to sustain myself. I can pay the bills and live my life. But what about the greatness of your soul? What about the limitless power that you came to reveal?
Right.
And so therefore, when we see challenges and painful situations, we think, oh, it's not fair. But it's exactly what meant to help that soul.
Right.
We don't see it, but it is
right.
The truth.
And it seems like it's not fair at the moment, but the thing is that the soul, each soul comes here for a different journey, right? From what I understand.
Yes.
So if you're jealous of somebody else, it's pointless, because they're on a different journey. They're going, you know, I look at it as like being on the freeway, you know. That guy is going faster or, you know, or whatever's got a nicer car, but he's going somewhere else, you know. You're not going to the same place. So why are you envying him, you know?
Right, right, right.
And just, you know, just to go on your own journey and let them do their own journey, you know.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. And if you don't make a lot of money in your life, it's either something you decided or you're not supposed to. You know, it's not one of the tests for you, you know,
exactly.
Of the lessons for
yes,
you.
Yes, absolutely. Some
right.
people came to reveal more sustenance and abundance. Some people came to reveal, you know, different aspects of sharing and caring for others. But sustenance and abundance belongs to all mankind. And, you know, the rich people, the Zohar is teaching us that, you know, I'm talking about very wealthy, wealthy, wealthy people. Mm-hmm. Basically, the abundance, the channels of abundance are open, and they meant to be, they belong to the 8 billion souls. Now, not everyone has the vessel to receive a lot of money, like as less desire. Now, the money still goes. The sustenance, the energy of abundance, of, you know, the flow is still, you know, flowing. And now it cannot enter into a vessel that cannot handle it, right?
Right?
I'm sure that you know what happened to those people who won the lottery and after 2 years lost everything. How can you lose millions of dollars within 2 years? The answer is the person didn't have a vessel to handle that sum of money.
Right, couldn't contain all that.
Right, so when the money goes from the upper world to, you know, to the physical realm, it goes to vessels that can handle it. So let's say a very wealthy person has a bigger vessel, but the money doesn't belong to him. Mm-hmm. It belongs to another millions of souls that cannot handle it right now. And he needs, if he's a spiritual person, he needs to know, like Warren Buffett. Warren Buffett, let for example, he knows the money doesn't belong to him. So I need to share it constantly because, yeah, I'm just a channel.
Right.
I'm just a channel. And again, if you have wisdom, if you have a position, if you have anything that you might have, I'm just a channel for it.
Right.
You know, I heard like from my teacher, Michael Berg, yesterday, like the window, you know, imagine there is a, you know, window and the sun is shining. Now the ray of light are entering into your house. The window is not going to say, you know what? I'm so great. I'm revealing so much light. I'm bringing so much light into your house. No, the sun is the light, and I'm just allowing the light to go through me.
Exactly.
And that's the consciousness of a window. We need to have the same.
Right. And I guess all the, because there's a lot of like rituals and stuff in every religion, but I guess it's all meant to make you more open and more susceptible to open, to receive all this, right? And, you know, because people ask, well, why do you do this? Why do you do this? Like, why do you eat kosher? And why do you keep Shabbat and all that stuff?
Right.
How does that work? How does that fit with everything?
You know, we have 613 precepts.
Right.
613, it's so much, right? Kosher is one of them. Shabbat is one of them. But when we teach Kabbalah, we don't really teach people, you know, do this, do that. First, you know, let's teach you the spiritual laws of the universe. Be kind. Transform your selfishness in different aspects of your life into sharing. And that's the foundation. Love thy neighbor as thyself. If you can love someone else as the way that you love yourself, that's the foundation. So, and of course, we do a lot of actions, but the most important thing is really to connect with the light. And therefore, we have the Hebrew alphabet, the letters, and the meditation, Kabbalistic meditations, like Ana Bekoach, like reading from the Zohar, which is all about elevating my consciousness, because the Hebrew letters are the DNA of creation. It's not religion. It's not a religion.
Right.
So we can use it on a daily basis. If I feel bad, I feel a little stuck, I'll do a Kabbalistic meditation, and then I'll feel much, much better.
Right.
I'm going to experience joy and happiness during the day.
Right.
Because that I was connected to the light on that specific morning.
Right. And people might ask, why is it the Hebrew alphabet and not the English alphabet? And it's probably because the Bible was written in Hebrew, and those are the tools or the way that you... You transfer all the energy from above.
Absolutely.
Right?
At the beginning of time, and before Adam and Eve, the Creator created 22 letters. which is, again, it's not the physical letters. It's, we're not talking about language. Mm. We're not talking about, you know, physical letters. We're talking about channels of light. Mm. So Ibu, it means Ivrit. Ivrit came from the word Leavir, which means to, you know, to make a flow, to channel from the upper, from the 99% reality to the 1% reality. So the Ibu letters are not a Jewish religion. It's not, oh, because of the Bible. No, first, the Creator created 22 forces of love, of caring, of sharing, of beauty, of wisdom. And then the letters the Creator gave it to us so we can connect through them.
Understand it.
Exactly. And some people don't even know how to read Hebrew, and they're still coming to the Kabbalah Center. Why? Because it's not about knowing the language.
Right.
You can just scan the letters because the eye is the window of your soul. Mm. You can scan the letters and then connect through your eyes towards your soul. You don't need to speak Hebrew. You don't need to have any Israeli or Jewish background. It is actually universal wisdom. And those letters are universal.
Wow. Interesting. You know what? We just lost the camera here, and I'm extremely irritated. I don't know now what we should do, if we should stop for a moment so I can fix it.
Stop for a moment. Fix
it. You want to stop for a moment? Yeah. Then I can edit it later,
sure,
right?
Absolutely.
So, guys, hold on just a second. If you're listening in audio, I'm going to fix this, and we'll continue. So hold on a second. Okay, we're back. Thank God. Thank God I was able to fix this.
Wow, that was so quick. Wow.
I know, wow.
Sam.
You see, I'm connecting with the light, man.
Absolutely, yes, you are connected.
There are sometimes forces that want to challenge us, but, you know, we need to know how to handle this, you know. I mean, normally I might get really irritated and stuff, you know, but you can't get irritated, especially when you're over on the air. You know? So we'll edit this later. Nobody will be the wiser, you know.
Yes, yes, yes.
But going back to our conversation, so those are the channels of energy through the Hebrew letters. And when you put the letters together, you create
energy, yes. A channel
like
for let's say, there is a channel for clarity. There is a channel for healing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like for example, the letter Mem, Hey, Shin,
mm-hmm.
is a combination that brings the energy of healing. So
right.
if I want to draw light of healing, I can visualize it. I can make an eye contact
mm-hmm.
with Mem, Hey, Shin,
mm-hmm.
and then draw light of healing. By the way, this is the week of healing.
Oh, really?
It's portion of Pinchas. You know,
yeah.
it's the week of healing. And I would definitely recommend for everyone to, you know, to pray or to ask or to meditate for healing, because the gates of healing are open this week from now until Sunday morning.
I see. So a lot of these things depend on the time of the year that they happen in. That's very interesting.
Yes,
you know?
Yes. We call it windows in time. Like, you know, a holiday is not just, oh, let's have dinner and enjoy, you know, some family gathering. No, it's a window in time. The energy of healing, the energy of miracles, the energy of you know, helping you grow and elevate your consciousness for the entire year. The energy of joy and happiness, like Simchat Torah, right? We call it the joy of spirituality,
mm-hmm.
which means, what does it mean? It means that now the bank of joy and happiness is open spiritually. Use it. So once you study Kabbalah, you can really achieve more control over your life.
Mm. Wow. Very interesting, you know. So, and that's why we have the holidays and we celebrate different things, but they help us connect with different parts of ourselves, of the light, of the soul.
Absolutely.
Now, you know, what I was, one of the things I was surprised to find out is that in Judaism there's like reincarnation and astrology and numerology and all that, and some people don't even know that it's part of the religion, you know.
Right, right.
And so obviously if you believe in a soul, you have to believe in reincarnation, because the soul is forever. So you know, the soul is forever, and then we come here for a very limited time in a physical form, right? And then we come back again, right? And from what I learned, we choose who we want to be, right? Like we choose our parents, we choose where we want to be born and things like that, right? Can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. There are many different aspects of Kabbalah. And one of them, it's called reincarnation, the gate of reincarnation.
Right.
And the concept of reincarnation is actually talking about tikkun. Tikkun means to correct. We have to come and to correct. What does it mean to correct? I'm not damaged. I need to improve. I need to, you know, to remove those layers. And sometimes, unfortunately, almost all the times, the soul cannot really reach that level of purity in one lifetime. Then it has to go, you know, to the spiritual realm and then come back with another family, with another new cycle of life.
Right.
And that's about, it's very simple. And that's why we have some memories from previous lifetime, and sometimes we don't understand why things happen to us. And actually ask yourself, why you were born, let's say, in Jerusalem? Why you were born in Los Angeles? Why?
Right.
There are many, many places that you're
on a certain date too.
What?
At a certain date also.
Absolutely. Why your soul came. And again, that's Kabbalistic astrology. Because
right.
the time, again, the creator, again, it's not, the astrology is not above the light. The light is controlling the universe. The creator is in control. Even though sometimes we think, oh, there is no, we lost control. And where is the light when I need it the most? The light is in control. The light created those planets to help us and to assist us and to give us the best window in time so my soul can reveal my greatness.
Mm.
And so the soul also is coming to a specific parents so that those parents, you know, can help the soul and the soul can help the
parents.
Right,
with their correction.
Absolutely.
Right. Now, and I think that kind of explains, and I want to ask you this because people will wonder, and they wonder a lot, Why is there a lot of suffering for children, for babies, you know, things like that that are innocent? They haven't even had a chance to build any negative layers.
Absolutely.
Why does that happen?
I look, without understanding the laws of reincarnation, it's impossible to understand it.
Mm.
So a child, imagine that a child was an adult in his previous lifetime, right? I remember a story about a man that was actually having a lot of challenges, a lot of painful challenges. So he went to a Kabbalist. And he said, I don't understand. You know, challenge after challenge, painful situation after another. Why? Why? So the guy said, you know what? If you want to know, the Kabbalist said, if you want to know the answer, go to that city. Go, I'll give you the address. I'll give you the name of the city. And ask for that name of person, you know, let's say, ask for David, you know, Hershko, okay? He went and he was asking, do you know where is David Hershko used to, does he live? They said, no, he's not. And he was actually knocking on the doors and people said, no, David Hershko, he was a very mean person. He was a very negative person. He caused pain to so many people. And he was actually asking more and more. People said, don't even mention his name. He was the most negative person in town. Yes, thank God he died. So now the person is confused. He went back to the Kabbalist. He said, you sent me to that place and you told me about the name of that person. And the person was a negative, very negative, caused a lot of pain to so many people. So how it's related with my question? The Kabbalist said, that person was you in previous lifetime.
Mm. Yeah.
Okay? And now you understand that, you know, sometimes we have to pay. Again.
Right.
And fortunately or unfortunately, we pay, you know, payment from previous lifetime, but we don't have to pay. If I'm transforming, imagine if I was causing pain to so many people, and now I'm realizing, no, I want to change. I just watched a section from Pretty Woman, you know, with Richard Gere and Julia Roberts, right?
Right?
So she was influencing him. Instead of being like a huge, you know, a very successful businessman, he become now a human being.
Mm.
Remember the meeting that, you know, he used to buy companies that couldn't, you know, they couldn't sustain themselves. So he was to come and buy the company. and take advantage of the weakness of others. You know, his business was about taking advantage of the weakness of others. Now he realized I cannot take advantage in a bad way. He came and he told that person, you know what? I'm going to invest in your company.
Right.
Continue to work, because the person didn't have enough money. So now Richard Gere become a being of sharing. He was a very selfish person before that he met Julia Roberts, you know. And now he become a very sharing person. Now he is not the same person anymore. So he is not supposed to go through the painful challenges that he meant to go through, because it changed already. If you are transforming, right, and you become a new being of spiritually, you become a new person spiritually, we don't have to go through painful challenges.
Right. And we don't have to go through life again, because we've completed our correction. Now, if I remember correctly, because, you know, I'm still asking about the baby that suffers or dies or whatever, and people go, why, you know? And from what I understand, the soul's already completed its correction. It comes here to help the parents with their correction. And therefore, the baby is was just there as, you know, an instrument to help the parents, and it's not really that he came here to suffer.
Absolutely.
Right?
Most of the time it's to help the parents by going through pain, and again, it's very painful. I don't like to talk about it because I'm
right.
very...
And people don't want to talk about that stuff.
Sensitive towards kids, yeah, and I know that, yeah, we don't want to talk about it, but anyway, it's an experience that the parents meant to go through, and that soul came for another year to correct, and then that's it. He's mm-hmm. going to come back again. He's going to be very healthy, very successful. He's going to grow. We don't see it. And that's why I said at the beginning of our meeting that we have eyes, but we don't really see.
Yeah. Yeah.
As King David said.
Right. And, you know, I mean, that's not easy to digest all this information. And that's why you have to go in and study for years.
Yeah.
To understand all this, you know, it's not something that you can sit for 45 minutes and actually, but this is just a little taste of what it's about.
Just a
you
taste
know?
Of what Kabbalah is all about.
Definitely. Right. And I think it's definitely powerful. You know, I gained a lot from it. I mean, to be honest with you, the year that I went through it, I felt like I was walking on air, you know? I really felt I was floating,
yes.
you know? There was nothing that I didn't have an answer for. You know, everything like seemed to make sense, you know. And if you connect with it, you know, you don't have to be a religious person. You don't have to go through all the rituals and everything. But if you understand this, if you study this, it'll help you quite a bit in your life, I think. You know?
I'm glad that you have that memories from studying Kabbalah. And many years after, we meet and we talk. And
right.
Because it's still with, you know, you're still living Kabbalah.
Right. And, you know, and the funny thing is that we went through the same thing, but at different times, you know. I mean, if it was other times, we would have met a long time ago, you know.
Yeah, I wasn't in Israel. I was in LA in 96.
Right, exactly.
1996, I was here in LA. I started to study Kabbalah in 1994.
Okay.
And then 96, I was, you know, still studying, taking classes. I was in Los Angeles and you were in Israel.
So right, at the time.
We both, study Kabbalah at the same time.
Right, right.
It's funny.
But you stuck with it for many years, and that's cool, you know. So, we're just about out of time. So tell people, you guys have like classes that you give.
Definitely.
And sessions and stuff. Tell people how they can find out about it and join.
Yeah. The first, Kabbalah.com. KABBALAH. Kabbalah, you spell it with double B. Kabbalah.com. Go on to
Kabbalah.com.
Kabbalah.com. You will find out classes and locations. Of course, we have a great location in Los Angeles. On 1062 South Robertson Boulevard. Mm-hmm. It's in between Olympic and Pico. And just go. And you can also find me on social medias, Avner Madar. And you know, on Facebook and Instagram. But Kabbalah.com is the best, you know, way to connect. We teach classes on a weekly basis, on a daily basis. You can start with Kabbalah 1, you know, 10-week sessions. And actually pay as much as you want.
Mm.
Pay as much as you can, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah, our classes, majority of our classes is pay as much as you can. If you can afford $40 or $80 or $200, just pay as much as you want.
That's amazing. That's amazing.
To allow
There's an opportunity.
Exactly. And to allow as many people as possible to study, you know, yeah, nationwide and globally.
Wow, very impressive. You know, I'm really impressed, you know, by the fact that it's it's something that a lot of people run, and it costs money to run and everything, but it's still open for people to come in and work on themselves, because that's what it's all about. It's about sharing and giving back to others, you know, and that's an amazing thing.
Yeah, if you want to study Kabbalah today, you can find Kabbalah anywhere in the world.
Right.
We have so many locations. And
so that's what I was going to ask. So outside of Los Angeles, people can find many places to study.
Oh, yeah, if you live in Chicago, if you live in New York, if you live in Miami, if you live in so many places, in San Francisco, and you can learn online. You know, you can live in Arizona, and you can learn online. You know, we have people that are studying Kabbalah from Sedona, right?
Mm-hmm.
Sedona, we don't have the Kabbalah Center, but they are studying online. And then, you know, about a few weeks ago, they invited one of our teachers to give a seminar in Sedona, Arizona.
Oh, wow.
So, and our teachers are flying, you know, towards different locations. We are actually very, you know, accessible. We want to make sure that people can study. Why? Because it's not just about being a spiritual person. It's about living the life that you meant to live. It's about really transforming the darkness into light. It's about changing the world. It's about making a difference and allowing our you know, the 8 billion souls to, you know, to live life through joy and happiness.
Right. And live with meaning to your life, you know. And, you know, especially these days, you know, things are very tough. I find it like exhausting to go through the news, you know. It's just so depressing, everything that's happening. And I think these are tools that can help you deal with these things, you know.
Yeah, and by the way, you don't need to listen to the news and to watch the news. You can watch the news for maybe 60 seconds just to see what's going on, and that's it. Disconnect.
Right.
And connect to positivity, connect to your family, connect to some books that can, you know, can nourish your soul. We need to nourish our souls so our soul become alive. If we don't nourish our soul becomes so tired and so disconnected, and we don't want that.
Right.
There is a great opportunity now with all what is going on all around us to connect, to study Kabbalah, and you know, really to bring endless light and blessings into your life.
Awesome. Avner, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much.
You're full of information and inspiration, you know, and it's a joy to have you here. Much continued success to you. Everybody,
thank you so much,
Sam. Check out Kabbalah.com. You won't be sorry. And that's it. So we'll see you all tomorrow. Take care.
Take care. Thank you so much.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning, only